You know what? How many of y'all feel like you've been sitting for just a little bit too long? I want everybody to stand up for just a moment, if you're able. Except Maureen, because she said she just got comfortable. But everybody who can, stand up for just a moment. For those who can stretch your arms way up. Stretch yourself way up. Give yourself a good stretch. I'm going to stretch one arm way up because the other one ain't even going to move. So stretch what you can. Stretch way up. Shake it out a little bit. Move your little booty just a little bit. Shake yourself. Sit back down, ladies and gentlemen. Put your seatbelts on because we're about to get to the biggest and best part of this evening. Some of y'all already know what's coming. Some people want my job. I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was asked to do this job, and I found out who our national rep was, I thought this is one of the very best days of my life. Because anybody, excuse me, we are about to get to the best part. And for those who miss it, please do it outside the room. Because everybody who stays in this room is going to be blessed with truth, honesty, and some reality in a way that only one person I know can deliver it. So I want to beg your indulgence for just a moment while I say that the first time I heard this lady speak, she said she was so nervous and the rest of the world didn't know. She made a convention sing, and some people squirm in their toes. And she told us truth, and I know she will bring it to us again tonight. So for our banquet address, ladies and gentlemen, our national representative, Miss Everly Hairston.
It's up just a little high. You can bring it down if you want.
Let's see. Is it a high? Yeah. I got it. I need it back. So.
How's the sound?
Good. Just a little closer.
Okay. Great. There you go. Thank you so very, very, very much. Most of you that I've had an opportunity to talk to today have said, I can't wait. So I have some great expectations to meet this evening. So as I was sitting there getting cold, and I'm thinking they better hurry up, but at the same time, I know how important it is to raise as much as we can so that we can give to the future of our federation. So, I am here now. In the state of Colorado, many of you know about the gold rush, do you not? And so once there was a miner doing the gold rush. And he was mining and digging for gold for several months. The work was becoming extremely tiresome. He sold his equipment to another miner. He was ready to quit. But after giving his tools and the supplies that he had to another miner, the engineer said to the new miner, when he quit, I'm telling you, you are only 3 feet from gold. But the new miner started to dig where the first miner had stopped. And believe it or not, the engineer was correct, because the new miner, as he was digging, he was only 3 feet from goal. So he was only 3 feet from goal before he decided to quit. When things start to go hard, as we know, and when we are meeting challenges, it is not the time to quit. Many people will give up on their dreams, their goals, and their aspirations because they become tired and frustrated. But I say, just because the work becomes too difficult, tedious, or tiresome, you must realize that often you are closer to the finish line. So don't quit. My question to you this evening is, what are you looking for? I repeat, what are you looking for? Plan, take action, persevere. Sometimes, in order to pursue those goals or aspirations, you must replan, have a detailed proposal in order to achieve something. It has to be an intention or something that you feel very passionate about. You must also take action. Taking action means the fact or process of doing something. Persevere. Continue in the course of action, even in the face of difficulty. So if you are facing challenging times, don't give up. Don't quit. Believe me, you can get through. Complaining won't fix your problem. No matter who you are or where you are from, we all have to overcome adversity. And believe me, adversity will strengthen your confidence or your skills. Life, I have learned, gives us challenges to make us stronger. And this thought resonates with me. I grew up on a plantation, raised by my parents and paternal grandparents, who were sharecroppers on the Coolimi Plantation, located in the western part of North Carolina. I was bused 20 miles from home, passing several white schools along the way, and had to use hand-me-down books. I had to stay out of school, usually 2 consecutive weeks at a time, in the spring and in the fall. In the spring to chop cotton, and in the fall to pick cotton. And while in the fields picking cotton, my older sister and older brother and I encountered many snakes. I remember one specific day as we were picking cotton. I had gotten about 20 feet down the cotton row, and I leaned forward to pick this beautiful cotton out of the cotton bowl. And there on the ground was a long snake. I yelled. I said, "Roger, I'm frightened." He said, "Don't quit. Continue. Let's finish so we can return to school next week." That thought made me continue. but another 30 or 40 feet down that same cotton row. When I leaned forward to pick this beautiful cotton out of the cotton bowl, there on the ground was a long black snake. And then to the left was a curled up copperhead. And I yelled to my brother again, and he looked and he said, "Oh, it's a copperhead." We looked around and around, and there were several copperhead snakes. We were so frightened. With a tow sack tied to our waist, we ran as fast as we could until we reached a trailer at the beginning of the cotton row, and it was packed with several bags of cotton. I climbed to a bag on the very top, and I began to cry because I knew when my father came for us, we would not have completed the task for the day. And I was afraid that that would make us have to stay out longer from school. But while sitting on the very top of those bags of cotton, I began to pray. And I said, "Oh God, there must be a better way of life for me." So shortly after high school, I went to New York to work as a living maid. Many of you read the book, The Help. I lived The Help. I was responsible in Long Island, Oceanside, New York, for the care of a three-year-old who had a kidney disease. At the end of the summer, she passed away. But my intention was to return to North Carolina at the end of the summer anyway. So it was easier for me to tell them after the little girl had passed away. They were good to me. They gave me my first plane ride from Oceanside into New York City and then to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. At that time, I was anxious to pursue my dream of becoming a nurse, and I was going to attend Duke University Nursing School. I was excited and went to Duke University to take the entrance exam. Unfortunately, I failed the eye exam and did not become a candidate for the Duke Nursing School. I was devastated. My aunt said to me, who was living in Durham, North Carolina, "Let me take you to a doctor." It was an optometrist. What could that doctor do? I had retinitis pigmentosa, but I had not been diagnosed yet. But as soon as my aunt took me to the doctor, he said, "Let's give her some glasses." I was laughing inside, because I knew those glasses would not do anything for me. So then, my aunt kept saying, "Put them on, wear them. I want you to be able to see." Again, I was laughing inside. I said, "I'm not willing to give up. I want to go to North Carolina Central University." And I knew I had not earned enough money for the tuition and to stay on campus. But my aunt said to me, "We live very close to the campus." And she and my uncle invited me to stay with them. I was so excited. I was so happy because I could enroll in North Carolina Central University. I struggled in college as a result of my struggling eyesight. And I want to tell you one significant story that happened, and you will understand the struggle. I was taking a biology exam one evening, and with RP, one of the early symptoms is night blindness. So while taking that exam that evening, or attempting to, I couldn't read the paper. And I sat with tears rolling down my cheeks. And finally, I got up enough nerve to go to the professor. And I said to her, "I'm sorry, I cannot take this exam." She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I can't see the paper." She said, "I've heard it all. I've heard many excuses, but this takes the cake." The tears began to roll down faster because she didn't believe me. I was telling the truth. But I still was not going to quit. I had to find another way. So I attended summer school and was able to retake the exam during the day. While attending North Carolina Central University, Dr. Martin Luther King came on campus to give a seminar and to talk to the students about civil rights. After living on the plantation, and my parents and paternal grandparents who were sharecroppers, and you know, those are the people that work on somebody else's land for very little pay. Every time my parents would take the cotton to the cotton gin, they could only receive 30 cents out of a dollar for all the work that we had done. So I knew that what he was talking about, what Dr. King was talking about, I could relate, and I resonated with his thoughts about equality, equity. I related to it. And I got involved because I knew that that was something, after his lectures, that I wanted to be a part of. It was true that his mission was true before our times. He was advocating for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Amen. That was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So while at North Carolina Central University, I participated in one of our sit-in demonstrations. We marched from the campus to Sears, Roebuck and Company. At that time, Sears refused to hire blacks. The movie theaters would not allow blacks unless you went up to the balcony, and you could hardly see from there, I understand. And then even the lunch counters that you may have read or listened on TV about, we could not go and sit down at the lunch counter and be fed like others. So, because of the situation with the movies, Sears not hiring blacks, I knew that my place was to be a part of this demonstration. So we marched 5,000 miles to Sears, Roebuck and Company from the campus. 2,000 strong. As we were marching along the way, there were bricks, stones, all kinds of debris being thrown on us. But we didn't quit. We continued to march until we reached the parking lot of Sears Roebuck and Company. We sat down, and the police moved in and ordered us to move. Refusing the order, we remained steadfast in our sitting positions. And we began to sing, "Over my head, I hear freedom in the air. Over my head, I hear freedom in the air. Over my head, I hear freedom in the air. There must be a God somewhere." The police were on buses, and they began to move onto the parking lot at a very fast speed. It seemed as if they were going to run over us. We were frightened. We were screaming, crying, yelling. And the police got off of the buses. They began to pick us up, shoveling, throwing us on the buses, and they hauled us off to jail. Once we were not booked, but placed in the jail cells, we were packed like sardines in a can. Trust me, if we needed to perform mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, we could. That's how close we were. So we started shouting, singing, and shortly after that, over the intercom was an announcement. The jail keeper had had a heart attack and died. We were so frightened because we thought we would be accused of causing the death of the jail keeper. The following morning, there were those politicians, other civil rights leaders who had contacted Dr. King, and we were discharged from jail. But you see, that morning, what frightened me was I was afraid to go home to where I was living, to my aunt and uncle's house, because they did not approve of me being involved in the civil rights movement. You know why? Because they were afraid they may lose their jobs. And I also knew that my parents did not approve of their daughter being involved in the civil rights movement, because they too were afraid that they could lose their jobs. Because if their employers learn that a niece or daughter was involved, they certainly wouldn't approve, and they may fire them from their jobs. After graduating from North Carolina Central University, I moved to New Jersey to begin my teaching career. A short 4 years later, I was forced to resign because of my impending blindness. You see, one day I was standing at the blackboard and I was writing shorthand forms on the board. But it was stressful because when I would stand and focus on the board and write the shorthand forms, but turn to my students, and with RP, you know, slowing focus was certainly there. But when I turned back to the board after looking at and talking to the students, it was so stressful that I fainted. I was taken to the hospital, and the first thing was all these lights looking at my eyes and wanting to know if I was on drugs. I said, "No, I'm not on drugs. I don't even drink. I have an eye problem." Well, unfortunately, because of that incident, I was forced to resign from my teaching position. But I was still unwilling to quit or to give up. I had a failed marriage. Later, a one-year-old son. Life was really tough. But what I realized that apparently I am tougher. After being denied Braille, or being taught Braille at the New Jersey State Commission for the Blind, after they gave me some sandpaper and said, read this, feel this, brother. In order to learn Braille, I thought, are they crazy? But anyway, I was told I did not qualify to learn Braille. Well, I received a call from the late Jackie Billy asking me to come to a convention that was being held in Phoenix, Arizona. And when I got that call, remember, I had one son. I had just begun to work for the Department of Health and Human Services. They would only hire me as a counselor trainee. I was afraid to leave, but I slept on it. And I knew that it was important for me to take the next step. I knew that I needed some blindness skills. And while attending that convention in Phoenix, Arizona, going through the registration line, I talked to so many people, professional blind people. I was so excited about listening to these people. I was so inspired, and I said, this is something I must do, I must have, I must get. It was what I was looking for. But when I got to the desk, after going through that registration line, I was asked, would you like a Braille or a print agenda? The tears began to roll down my cheeks again. You know why? I could not read Braille. They wouldn't teach it to me. I could no longer read print. And I thought, here I am, a college grad, yet illiterate. I talked to as many people as I could at that convention, spoke to Joanne Wilson, learned about the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and you know what I did? I went back to New Jersey and said to them, I want to go to the Louisiana Center for the Blind. I need skills in order to do my job well. I was denied. But I didn't quit. What I did then, I called Joanne Wilson. She told me, we can find a way to get you here. I became a resident of the state of Louisiana. And I was enrolled at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. A 9-month program. But you see, I was afraid to stay the 9 months because I was afraid of getting fired. So I knew the best thing for me was to stay or to make it within a 6-month period. But I worked as hard as I could. I struggled. I met all of the challenges. that I had to face. And I was able to finish in the 6-month period. But one of the most profound experiences while attending the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and those of you attending CCB, you will relate to this. One of the most profound experiences was to go on my graduation route. The students and staff drove me to Monroe, Louisiana. Ku Klux Klan country. So when we arrived, I was given instructions to find the bus station. Take a bus to the Monroe Mall. I got off the bus, and the tears began to roll down my cheeks. I thought, these people must be crazy, dropping me off here in Monroe, Louisiana. Probably the Ku Klux Klan is all around me. I had experienced that in North Carolina. I didn't want to ever have to go through this again. But that was negative thinking. I had learned through Dr. Martin Luther King how to be positive, how to meet the challenge, how to do what it takes in order to reach your goals and your aspirations. So I begin to think about the task that was before me. I began to walk, and I found a building. And I went in and I asked directions to the bus stop. She gave me directions, and I began to follow those directions. And at one point, I was walking over what it seemed like a bridge. I could hear traffic to my left underneath me. I didn't know where I was, but I kept on walking. And then a lady pulled up alongside of me. Miss, let me help you. Where are you going? I said, I'm sorry. You can't help me. I'm performing a test. You can't help me. She said, well, just tell me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the bus station. She said, well, you're going in the right direction. When you get to the end of the street, turn right and you'll probably hear the buses. I did. I got on that bus and I was met at the Monroe Mall with the students and staff. I was so happy, a mission accomplished. And all I could think of was a song. It's one of my favorite songs. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Jesus gives me the portion, and the constant friend is he. I knew then that I could graduate from the center, return to New Jersey with all of my skills, Braille, computer skills, independent living skills, orientation and mobility, all of the skills, even having the opportunity to cook a meal for 40 that was very successful. With all of the skills in hand, I returned to New Jersey. And certainly, you must understand that I did not remain as a counselor trainee very long. I was determined to move up the ladder, and I advocated for my rights. I became the senior counselor, supervisor, and then director. Shortly after that, I had three people meet in my kitchen so that I could start the Garden State chapter in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The Garden State chapter became the largest chapter in the state of New Jersey. And later, becoming the VP of New Jersey, but asked to become the president. Diane McGeorge was there in New Jersey, but I knew with my responsibilities on the job, trying to do the best I could as a director, and having to raise a son alone, I didn't want to overwhelm myself. I wanted to do a good job, but I didn't feel that I could do both. So I turned down the position of president of the NFB of New Jersey. But I accepted the position of first vice president. And believe it or not, the National Commission for the Blind of New Jersey, who failed or refused to send me to the Louisiana Center for the Blind, I went to them because I wanted to start a program in New Jersey for teenagers, blind teenagers. So I, along with one other lady, we coordinated the program. It was called the LEAD program. LEAD stands for leadership, education, advocacy, and determination. We took those teenagers to the Washington Seminar. We took those students on buses and airplanes to many, many destinations. I just have to tell this quickly. One time, going to the Washington Seminar, and I had this teenager who was from a very wealthy family. And we got to the room, and I said to her, let's walk around, and I want you to be familiar with everything in this room. In case of an emergency, you need to know this. And she was blind. And I said, by that time, I was blind. I said, so let's go over here, and I want you to touch the telephone. She said, I've never used a telephone. I have never used a telephone. I said, you've never made a call? No. My parents do not allow me to do anything in our home. Do you see the need for that LEAD program? So, those students who became a part of the LEAD program are now some of the leaders in the National Federation of the Blind. My time in the National Federation of the Blind, after attending my first convention in 1987, has been given back. I said this to someone this week here, weekend. It's a service that I have had the honor all and throughout my journey. I tell a lot about it in the book that I have written, Blind ambition, one woman's journey to greatness despite her blindness. I talk about the things that I've done and the experiences and the challenges that I've had to meet. But I didn't give up. So, in doing all of these things, I thought about a quote. And it goes like this. I slept and dreamt the life was joy. I awoke and saw the life was service. I acted, and behold, service is joy. I served on the scholarship committee for 23 years. That's our national scholarship committee. I have so many children that I have mentored over the years, and they too are leaders in our National Federation of the Blind. Some of them are presidents of affiliates. Some of them serve on boards. You see, our role is to learn, to grow, and to give back. When I became a president in the state of California, even a state that large, I was given the opportunity to help to develop some new chapters, and I did. I worked at that time under the current president, and unfortunately, many of you may know Mary Willows. Her husband was very ill. He was bedridden, and the work fell on me. She was president, but the work fell on me. But that's what's important. Jessica Beauchamp is your president, but she needs you to assist, to help, and to do your part. And then it's called working together. All right. Work, perseverance, contributes to a happier life. I want to tell you this story quickly, and then after that, I want to share my poem that I've written. I want to tell you the story about the thirsty, clever crow. You know, crows are very, very clever. Well, this day, this crow was flying around, and he was very thirsty. He wanted water. And finally, he spotted a large pitcher of water at the base of a tree. And so he spotted this pitcher. It was very large. And he flew down, but his beak was too large to get into the top of the narrow, rounded pitcher. So he was unable to get a drink of water. But he didn't give up. He flew around, although he was very thirsty and dehydrated. But he flew around, and he spotted some pebbles near the pitcher of water. And he began to pick those pebbles up, one by one, and he dropped them into the pitcher. And I'm sure you know what happened. The water level began to rise. And when it did, he was able to get a drink of water because he was desperate. So he was able to quench his thirst. So I want you to understand that sometimes when we think about giving up, find and look for other ways. You may have to plan, take action. and you may have to find a way to persevere. So, I want to share with you a poem that I have written, because I travel all over the United States and abroad. And the one question, cue music, the one question that I am asked, what is it like to be blind? I share it, or sum it up in these words. I can't see the trees, but I can touch the leaves. I can't see a child, but I can hear one grow. I can't see your smile, but I can feel your glow. I can't see a hillside or a rainbow I can't find, but I'm not missing out on rainbows because they are painted on my mind. I can't see a garden, but I can smell the flowers. I can't see a timepiece, but I can certainly count the hours. I can't see a house, but I always know when I'm at home. I can't see you sitting there, but I know I am never, never, never alone. I can see joy, I can see happiness, and I can see blessings from above. So Federationists, I may not be able to see a hillside or a rainbow I can't find, but believe me, I'm not missing out on life because it's painted on my mind. God bless you. I love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, have we heard some truth? Have we been changed? Then the work here has started to be done. And while Miss Everly Hairston is standing here, our president, Jessica Beauchamp, has a little something special that she would like to say and share.
Don't make me cry.
Yeah, we're going to make you cry. You made us cry. Don't
make me cry. Well, we love Everly so much, and having her here is like having her back to the home where she hasn't lived yet, but maybe she'll join us one day here in Colorado. I know she's got a nice family there, but we could be a really nice family too.
Yes.
So we love you, and we're so appreciative of you being here this weekend. And we don't like to send our reps away with really, really big things that are going to take up a lot of space, but we did want to just present you with a token of our appreciation for you. And so in this bag, you'll find several different kinds of nuts. But I think the coolest thing.
I love nuts.
And there's a chocolate covered nut too. I think it's a chocolate covered peanut.
Okay.
So in this box though, there's something really cool, and it is a necklace. It is a real birch leaf that has been dipped in 24 karat gold. It is really dainty and lovely.
Oh.
And I hope that when you wear it, you'll think of us here in Colorado.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Y'all should just see the hugging that was going on up here. And if there's banquet staff in the room, Miss Harrison has more than earned her dessert, y'all. And I believe it might actually be there. Door prize, folks. Do you have anything people could take home with them?
Oh, we have a couple things.
How about you do one of those awesome giveaways that mean a whole bunch of people get something cool together?
I think we could probably do that.
Rock it out right now.
So first...
And Kevin?
This will be... excuse me.
And Cody.
It's a gift card for, I believe it's called Penrose Tap Room. And it has this really cool glass cup. I don't know what to call it. It's really tall and cool. And you can take it to fill it up, I believe, at your tap room. And this, the name is Chris Nance. Chris, are you here? Yes, yes. Everyone at Chris's table will also get, it's from Greeley, yes. And everyone at her table will get a Domino's pizza as well.
All right, that's the way to do the after banquet party. And do you have a way to make some folks at who are not with us happy right now?
You know I do.
And do you have, see, here's the deal. We like to give generously in the NFB of Colorado. So right now, Renee is going to pull 5 virtual cards. And if 5 are there, then they will all win something.
That's right.
Those who are not there, snooze, you lose.
That's right.
Give us those names.
First one is Delfina Rodriguez.
Delfina, I hope you're out there. We're not going to take time to confirm them all right now, but
right.
Read them all.
The next is Julia Zanin.
Julia Zanin.
The next is, it's falling, John Batron.
John, okay.
The next is Yolanda Thompson. And the next one is... what is his name? Marie? Is that Marie? Sorry. Marie?
Is that a question? Well, just checking.
I believe it's Marie. Sorry, guys. No, I'm lying to you. It is. Why are we going to get Marie? Hello. It's Katie. Ralph? What is that?
Do you have a last name for
Harper.
Her?
Katie Harper. Sorry.
Katie Harper?
Katie Harper.
Okay. You've got your names. Cody Bear, you're going to be up as soon as Kevin is done. We're going to move very quickly, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. This flight is going to be a little longer than you planned, but I think the time has been well spent. But we are going to move very quickly through some very important pieces of this evening. I'm going to turn it over to Kevin for a couple auction items. And then scholarship folks, if you can start making your way, Cody will be talking to you very shortly about some very important ka-ching.
I'll go this way for you. A couple of blind guys. Okay, which way are you going? I don't know. Which way are you going? I don't know. Are you going to the right? I'm going to the left. I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. Wow, what a speech. Thank you very much, Everly. We love you. Thank you so, so much. You know, Jess and I actually a few years ago had the honor of dining at Everly's home. Oh my God, I'll never forget it. It was amazing food, amazing food. So, Lisa Bonderson, are you in the vicinity?
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Are you in the vicinity? She's like, hello. She's like in my ear. So, Julie Neeson, who is Lisa's partner, arranged for an amazing whiskey package. And I mean, this is absolutely incredible. And so, I want Lisa to tell you a little about this. Lisa.
As Kevin said, this whiskey-a-go-go package was arranged by one of the best and kindest people that I know. And it started out as a 750-milliliter bottle of Talnewa Single Pot, Still American Whiskey. That is a local distillery for those of you who like whiskey. It's a continuum cast aged in charred American white oak cast, then harvested and vatted in a Solera-inspired continuum cast. There's also two shooters of Talnua Bourbon Cask and Stave Series Whiskey, two shooters of Talnua Peated Cask Whiskey, two shooters. This is really hard to say when I've enjoyed a little whiskey myself. Courtesy of Scott Labar, thank you for the 15-year-old Red Best. Two shooters of Talnua Virgin White Oak Cask Whiskey, two shooters of Talnua Heritage Selection Whiskey. And because Julie Nissen is like the norm on Cheers of the Talnua Distillery, those kind folks donated a special 125th anniversary special release only whiskey. And it is honoring the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, their 125th year.
Wow.
This package is valued at $250. Kevin, I'll let you.
Okay, how much, Hecker? All right, it's a nice start, but I'm turning over this to Marianne.
All right, I heard 175. I know I'm going to hear more. 200 Trila.
250 Hecker. 300 Mary.
300 Mary Mann. 300. 300 going once.
325.
Hey, I got this, man. Don't worry. You don't even know the whole plan. We got a plan over here. 350, I heard. Mary says 350. 350 going once. 60? We like round numbers around here, but we'll go there. 375. Going once. Going twice.
400 Worley.
See, that's why I'm auctioning this. I know how this works because I've made him do it for me before. 400 says Worley. Going once. 450 says Mary.
400 Walton.
You're not listening, my dear. We're at 450 already.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie, you want to go 500? We like round numbers around here. We got 450 already. Going once to Mary. Going twice. There's a consortium? There's a consortium with Diane in the middle, okay? We will pause for the consortium momentarily. Diane says we're good. Mary did say 450, right? Yes. 450 going once, twice, sold.
Yay. All right, so we have a number of other auction items. We're going to get some of them in the morning. However, I have been asked to auction the Colorado Springs package. Now, the Colorado Springs package is a couple of our members who are here tonight actually did this last year, and it's essentially the same package, and I'm sure they'll tell you that it was an incredible weekend experience, even though they did have a private reception at my house. But other than that, you get a black car service from within 130 miles of Colorado Springs over this weekend. Hang on. You get two nights at the historic, luxurious Mining Exchange downtown. You get a meal at the famous steakhouse, which I would stack up against any steakhouse for two at the famous, which is you're gonna lay down a couple $300 if you eat there. You get jazz and cocktails at the Wild Goose. You get breakfast at the Burnt Toast. Their toast is never burnt, but it's a pretty fun place. There's meals. There's massage, a couple's massage at the MX Spa. You get a number of items, let's just face it. Meals, tours, Springs Orleans. Yeah, you get Springs Orleans, which is an amazing New Orleans cuisine in downtown Colorado Springs. It's a cacao, a $25 gift certificate to my friends over at Cacao Chemistry Chocolate Factory. Brunch, oh, yeah, my good friend at Odyssey, the Odyssey Gastropub downtown. That's a Sunday morning brunch. So we are going to start, what is this?
500 Jordan.
550 Maureen. 650 Maureen. 800. 850. 950 Maureen. 1,000. Thank you, Paul. It is absolutely depending on availability, but there. No, so you're not going to get. You're not going to get the holidays, that kind of thing. But I will work with you. I know all the people who are engaged in this, so we'll work it out with you. And I think the folks who went last year will attest to the fact that I worked closely to make it happen. 1,200. 1,200. Is Scott out there?
Yes.
13, Jessica. Thirteen Beecham. I mean, she lives a mile from there, for crying out loud. But I think we have a plan. Yeah, she wants to do at least brunch. 13 going once. 14 Holden, 15 Beecham. 17. 18 Holden. 18. 18 going once. 18 is Holden, right? Jessica's at 19. Jessica's at 2,000. Holden. 21 Beecham. 2,100 Beecham. Going once. Going twice. Sold to the president. Do we want to do another one, Kovacs? Or do we want to wait for the rest of them, most of the rest of them, tomorrow? Ooh, no, you know, we do have to do the treasure chest. Yeah, let's... Let's do it after scholarship, y'all, because this is a beautiful item. Thank you, Marianne. We're going to do one more major prize. Thank you, by the way, for everybody who bid on that. Could someone pass the treasure chest? I'm out of here.
Sometimes we just have to chase him away from the microphone. Though, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who would like to see the treasure chest with their eyes, with their hands... Before the bidding starts on it, I'm going to ask you to raise up a hand so it can be brought in your direction. And that way folks can get that chest around before the bidding starts on that. And in the meantime, I have the pleasure of introducing the treasurer of the NFB of Colorado, or the National Federation of the Blind. Don't kill me, Curtis Chong. Because I'm okay with certain acronyms in the family only. But Cody Bear is the chair of our scholarship committee. And for how many people have met our scholarship winners over this weekend? But before we give them away, how many people in this room, and I can say me, are Colorado State Scholarship winners? Say aye.
Aye.
How many people would like to be, or have been, wanted to be? All right, that's one really sad eye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for our scholarship presentation, Cody Bear.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everybody.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you our 2022 scholarship winners. Every banquet, we always have an exciting banquet speech, and always excited to introduce the scholarship winners, as these guys have worked so hard over the past 6 months to learn about the Federation and continue their growth in the Federation. I've had the pleasure of knowing all of these guys at least since July, if not sooner, and I can tell you that I've really enjoyed my time getting to know them, and this is one of the best scholarship classes we've ever had, and I think you'll enjoy meeting them as well. So that said, I'm going to introduce them one by one, and scholarship winners, once you're introduced, if you could keep your remarks to 30 seconds, that would be excellent. This year, the decision was definitely tough, and we decided that all of our scholarship winners were so great that we wanted to give them each scholarships of $2,500. So each of them will be receiving in the mail in the next week a check for $2,500. First, I'm going to introduce from Arvada, Colorado, intending to major and get a master's in social work from the Metropolitan State University of Denver, currently working on his prereqs there. He is Dan Levinka.
Making me go first. That's cool. That's cool. I have so many thanks to give out that I'm going to keep this concise. This is all my wife's soon... Oh, God, this is her fault. This is all of her fault. And if you see her out there in the world, tell her that first and foremost. And out of all the people in this room, out of all the people in this state, out of all the people in this country, and out of the 7.7 billion people in this world, I would still choose you, Chelsea.
And introducing our next scholarship winner, he is majoring in environmental engineering, and he comes to us from Fort Collins, studying at Colorado State University, Robert Lamb.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me, NFB of Colorado. And I am actually not a Colorado Center for the Blind graduate. And I've heard a lot of different stuff about DVR this weekend, but I would really like to thank, first of all, Shao up here in the front row, and all of DVR for helping with my training, getting me where I am. And I can't live up to Dan's, but I'd like to thank my wife, Adriana, as well. She's been my rock through all this. Thank you all.
And then... introducing our next scholarship finalist. He comes to us from Littleton, Colorado, and is majoring in business administration with an emphasis in nonprofit organizations, studying at the Southern New Hampshire University. Also works at our Colorado Center for the Blind, Deshaun Spears.
Thank you, everyone. It's great to be here. I want to thank Everly for her beautiful poem and her wonderful speech. And thank you to the scholarship committee. Thank you so much.
And introducing our next scholarship Introducing our next scholarship winner from Lakewood, Colorado. She's a senior at Metropolitan State University, majoring in environmental chemistry. We have a lot of STEM people this year specializing in environmental aspects of STEM. It is Karis Glather, also our only second-time scholarship winner this year.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you, first of all, to the scholarship committee. You all are absolutely wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity to grow as a blind person. Although this is a new journey, it has been an absolutely fabulous one, and I'll never be able to thank everyone in the NFB enough for convincing me that I can continue on the career path that I choose to do. So thank you, everyone, so much, and thank you to my mentors as well.
Awesome. That concludes my report. Thank you so much. Make sure you bid high on our next auction item so we can have an awesome scholarship program again next year. That's all. We're going to get a picture.
Got your pictures?
I don't see any camera out there.
I'm not going to forget that.
We have someone taking a picture of
Gary or somebody want to get the scholarship class picture? Oh, you did not. Okay. Well, this is okay, there are other pictures. I just know usually there's this lovely lineup, and all these people posed so prettily between the flags. I think they should just get a hand for all of that. And I do think there is a camera coming. They are coming to get the picture. I'm going to step out of the way so these guys can be in this center by themselves, and then I will be right back. That off to your right. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been told by several people, lest I should forget, that the cash bar, where is our bartender? If you are in this room, please say aye. Okay, that was really quiet. She wants you to come see her and get the last cash bar business of the evening before she closes, and please take good care of her for me, because I haven't been over there to visit her all night. So please, somebody, you know, love on her a little extra special. Before we get on to an auction item, we very rarely, but often, want to give out special awards in this affiliate. Anybody can hear me say chocolate? Anybody can hear me say dessert? All right. Anybody who can't, get out of the room. Thank you. We have a very special award to give out this evening. It was referenced in the agenda. And in order to make this happen, I give you our president, Ms. Jessica Beecham.
So Marianne is going to kind of come up here with me, and we're just going to talk back and forth a little bit about these fine person people that we're presenting an award to tonight. So I first met these people at a senior meeting at the Colorado Center for the Blind. Marianne, how did you meet these people?
I think it had to do with being at convention and finding the table where the most fun was happening.
One of these people grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and these people are married.
These people enjoy having tons of fun in the most unexpected ways, but have some of the most beautiful hearts I've ever met.
So I heard a story recently that the blind person in this couple was having a little bit of difficulty adjusting to some significant vision loss in life. And the person did not want to want anything to do with the blindness, didn't want to go to the Colorado Center for the Blind to check out the senior group, none of that kind of thing. So the other person in the group said, good, well, you're staying at home. Well, then this person decided, well, I think maybe I want to go. Nope. She didn't let him. So he did get to go the next time, though. And so I'm kind of giving more away. We know the blind person in the couple is a male, and we know that he's married to a very strong-willed and strong-hearted female. These two people are some of the hardest workers you'll ever meet. They are unassuming, but they always get the job done. They do every task with an amazing heart of service. And so tonight, it is our honor and our privilege to present the Ray McGeorge Award to
Dale and Edith Holden.
The plaque, or do you want me to?
We've got it both ways, don't we? Yeah. You can do that because I got to announce.
All right. National Federation of the Blind of Colorado, the Raymond W. McGeorge Award is presented to Dale and Edith Holden.
Keep reading.
You inspire us with your passion, dedication. This braille is like not super easy to read.
Why do you think I gave you the task?
Oh, dedication and commitment. Sorry. Oh.
You want I should take over?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I can't. I mean, it is not easy.
Okay. Must be lies.
I can see. I got this. We're going to get this, y'all. And I want you to know, Braille is not Jessica's first mode of reading, but, you know, the print is buried by the Braille. So she was jumping in, doing it with the Braille. So give it up for our president.
I can read Braille, but
she can read Braille, and this Braille is very strange to read, but it does say the Raymond W. McGeorge Award given to Dale and Edith Holden. You inspire us with your passion, dedication, and commitment. Your substantial contributions over the past 13 years have significantly advanced our movement and helped, countless blind persons. It helped blind persons live the lives they want. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. Miss President is distracting me over here. So have helped blind persons significantly live the lives they want. We respect you tremendously, but above all else, we love you. October 29th. 2022. And the truth is, she made me read it so she could hug them.
Yes. Well, and I just couldn't read it.
There you go, my loves.
Thank you all.
No, you got to get up there, girl.
Oh. Yeah. Well, how about we have him get up there?
Well, you can share. That's what you do. You're married. You share the microphone.
We have been married almost 55 years.
Get closer.
We've been married almost 55 years. And this award to me means as much for our relationship as much as our dedication to CCB and the NFB. We love you guys so much.
And to remind me, I've been told several times that the first day Edith decided to go to the senior support group, I said, no, I don't want to go. The next week, I was in the car probably before she even went out of the house. Anyway, I appreciate all of her support to me, all of your support to us, and we live the life we want. Thank you.
That we do. You turn around and go back right behind you. And yes, you'll bump into people.
I love when it's all hugs and love up here. This is the banquet bliss, y'all. I hope y'all are still having some with us. Jessica says we're getting the banquet bliss up here, and I love it. We do have one more auction item. We do have some more door prizes. And that cash bar might be still open for a couple more minutes. So exercise yourselves and get over there. But I'm going to bring you back for this last auction item. Did everybody see the treasure chest? All right. You know what you've touched? Open your wallets and let's get this going, okay?
Well, hang on, Jordan. I want to, let me have your attention just a second. I want to do a different thing real quick. Edith and Dale, we love you cats. I mean, there's nothing that makes me feel warmer, seriously, that when I'm on an NFBCO board of directors call, and Jessica's doing the roll call, or maybe Maureen or Julie, and I hear Dale Holden, that just warms my heart when I hear Dale. So, I do know that you guys were bidding on the Colorado Springs chapter package, yes? All right, so I'm going to give you one. So we have a second one that we're just going to give you. The entire package is yours. We're going to add that to the auction. You don't have to pay for it. We're just going to give it to you. So, yeah, well, I mean, Gary might come and try to get some money from you, and you did bid $2,000, so if you want to do it, but you don't have to, I'm just going to arrange for another one for the Holdens, okay? We'll make it happen. All right, now we got to do the treasure chest, which I'm very excited about. You guys have seen it, and you know it's beautiful. Jordan, this is your time to talk now. 400, Jordan. 410, Kimberly. 500, Whithaus. 510, Kimberly. No. 515. 515. Five, thank you, Jody. 515. 550. 600, Whithaus. 600 going once. Who said 610? 610, Kimberly. No, Whithaus, you can't do that.
Teresa on Zoom says 650.
650, Teresa on Zoom. 7, Jordan. 705. 706, Whithaus.
We're at 705 Widhouse. 706 Widhouse. You're welcome, Jody. You're welcome. 706, 706. 710. 715. 50, 50, 50. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the correction. I appreciate the additional $35. 750. Shh. We're at 750. 755. We love the money, guys. We need it for these programs, isn't it? Look, if you weren't inspired by our guest speaker tonight, well, she's not a guest, she's a family member. But if you weren't inspired by that, my goodness. 755, Jody. Eight. Eight going once. Oh my. 810. 810. 820. Tat. 825. 8:30. I know it. 8:30, Widhouse. Let's make some money. 8:40. 8:50. 8:50 going once. 8:55. 8:55. It's beautiful, you guys. I know we're taking some time with it, but we're raising good money. 8:55 going once. 8:80. Wow. 8:80. Gary, get ready to collect some money. 8:85. 8:85. 85 going once. What? You're done? Nine. She said nine. Nine. You know, you need to make five of these next year. Nine. We're at nine? 900 going once. Nine, ten. Go get her money. She might. Yeah, that's fine. 910 going once. 950. Yeah. All right, Jody. 950 going once. What's that? Got you, baby. 950 going once. 950 twice. Tomorrow we'll do more auction items. It is sold at 950. Thank you all. Good evening.
Gary's like the Terminator. I'm coming over to get your money. So happy to do that. And I loved working with Gary for all these years in the auction. And I'm so glad to see Kevin just totally rocking this out. It just makes my little heart happy. I know Gary's going to come hunt me down for my money, too. Door prize people.
All right. So
these are going to be the last.
Can I give three?
You can give three, you're going to give two, and then you're going to stop, and then you're going to put together one big one.
We got it.
You got the one big one, so you're going to give two away now.
Yep.
All right, do it.
Okay, so we have a bottle of vodka for those of you that still need some drinking going on. And with your vodka, you have a Bloody Mary mix from the Colorado Springs chapter. The name, Chelsea White? Is she here?
Chelsea
kind of
White?
Show the seeing eye. I don't. Not here. Okay, how about Scotland? Colorado Springs, Scotland? Okay, how about. Okay, this is a name I don't know how to say, and Julie helped me with it. Giotto?
Gersimar.
Here?
Gersimat, are you here? No, they can all leave because then she's going to give away money. So y'all can all leave, okay?
Okay, so how about Caden?
Caden Engel? Is Caden allowed to have Bloody Mary mix? And, well, I mean, I'm just checking, you know. I mean, there are some students who are pretty young around here. We don't always hand them alcohol.
Yes? Not here. Need another name.
He can't. All right. Let me take care of this. Is Caden in the room?
No. Okay.
He's not? Okay, so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, I've just gone through five names. Got to grab some more. Hang on.
How about you add some money? People like money.
Okay, how about...
Along with their alcohol.
Well, hang on. I'm going to look for some money. Hang on just a sec.
Why don't you put one of those Boulder packages? I know that's got 20 bucks in it.
All right. I am trying to read it. I can't read and talk at the same time. Okay. Is there someone named Jordan Castro here?
Woohoo!
He can
put it in the treasure box. Yes, she can put all of her good things in the treasure box.
And the box.
That's what Jessica said. She'll be able to carry all the things in her treasure box. Her first ever door prize. She spends money. She takes lots of things home, but she doesn't win. Until now, except that she wins in the auction. Do you have one more small one, or are you just holding out for the big one?
We have a small one here.
All right.
It is a shirt and some cups from CCB. What's the name? Hang on.
Dan says he's holding on. He's hanging on for dear life.
Okay.
About to have a karaoke
okay,
session.
Okay, so
up
it
in
is
here.
Paul Migarelli.
He is not physically here, and I will tell you he did have to go home this morning. He might be online, but still, he is not in the room. So,
is he online?
It doesn't matter.
He's online.
I guess I can take it home to him.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
good. Take it home to him.
Just trying to be fair, y'all. Trying to be fair, and these people are helping me be good as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure being your mistress of ceremonies for this evening. I hope you've been enjoying this trip. Miss Harrison says she's enjoyed this trip. I guess it doesn't matter for anybody else. But I do want to encourage you, please, if you've not already done so, read her book. She gave us a small bit of the story. There's so much more to read. It is up on Bard. I'm going to apologize to y'all because the reader who read it tried really hard, but he's not her. But the story is amazing. The ebook is even better. Take the time because it's an amazing read full of great truth. Jessica, do you wish to say anything until tomorrow morning, or do you just want to tell us what time we need to show up? It's in the agenda. What breakfast? Breakfast tomorrow at 8? Is that? See, Julie's going to keep us honest. Jessica said y'all should just open up your agenda and look. She was going to open up her agenda and look. Lisa needs to speak about.
Briefly.
I can be brief.
Make sure you bring your name tags that has your breakfast sticker on it. If you have a special card with the corner cut because you're vegetarian, vegan, et cetera, bring it. We still need that, and then you'll be done. Then you can recycle.
Yay! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Do me a favor, can y'all just show Lisa Bonderson some love? I don't know about anybody else, but I know Jessica has said flat out she wouldn't even take her job if Lisa Bonderson didn't come with it. Because this affiliate would just not be right without Lisa Bonderson, and a little love for neighbor Karen. Okay. We have the word that breakfast is right here in this in Park Ridge Ballroom tomorrow morning at 8:15. Kovac says so, so I believe him. He said Park Ridge. I was repeating what he said. The deal is the agenda is wrong. But Kevin is never wrong. So it is at 8:15, but it is in this room. We've been coming here all along. We're just going to keep doing it until they kick us out tomorrow. So ladies and gentlemen, before we're gone, we're going to have one more awesome, fabulous door prize. And then we will be adjourned until tomorrow. Thank you very much for your attention during this evening. And Renee, tell us who's winning what.
Okay, so we have several things that this person is winning. We have a gift card for 3 margaritas from the Greeley chapter. We have some cool Bath and Body Works Stardust Magic soap. We have from the beautiful town of La Junta, Colorado, where I live, a Tarantula Fest t-shirt and a tarantula. It is not alive, but it is a tarantula. I so wanted Jessica to get this. And $100 from the Aurora chapter. And this goes to Gary Van Dorn.
Oh! All right, everybody on Zoom, thank you so much for joining us for the banquet. We love you. We miss you. We could wish you could be in this room with us. And for all of us in here, the 2022 National Federation of the Blind of Colorado banquet is adjourned.